man has lost the ability to acquire true knowledge because he's out of touch with the source of knowledge. He's out of touch with the truth. He's out of touch with God.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
His name is the Prince of Peace. And that's our subject based on Isaiah, the 9th chapter and verse 6. There's no question that men in our world crave peace. There may be some in the hearing of our voice who are facing tremendous experiences of upheaval and turmoil in their lives, and they crave peace. They long for peace. There's no question that in our world today, men crave peace. But to this point, they have found no workable formula for producing peace, either in their heart or on the surface of the globe. We have discovered no workable formula for producing it. The Christian does not have that problem. The Christian knows where he can find peace. The Christian has found this seemingly elusive commodity in Jesus Christ. He has found it in a personal union with the Son of God. He has discovered the secret of conquering turmoil and upheaval in his personal life. And it isn't contingent upon his circumstances. There's nothing exterior that gives it to him, and there's nothing exterior that can deprive him of it. It comes from a personal union with the Son of God. He understands and knows peace through Christ. He's discovered the key to experiencing and the source of this elusive commodity we call peace. We ought to thank God for the peace that he has provided through Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. I want you to notice with me two very significant facets of this subject of peace. The first is this: the great necessity of peace. And it's what I would call ruptured relationships. That's why we have no peace. That's why we have turmoil and upheaval in our world. Ruptured relationships. The great necessity, ruptured relationships. The second thing we're going to look at is the great provision, restored relationships through the finished work of Jesus Christ. The great necessity, ruptured relationships. The great provision, restored relationships through the finished work of Jesus Christ. Human history began with everything in perfect harmony. And then there came an alien element into the experience of humanity. Sin entered the world. It's barely possible for the human mind to conceive of the overwhelming effects, the tidal waves of devastation that have swept over man and his environment due to the spiritual principle of evil. One very precise way of looking at the results of the fall is to define the separations which were caused by it. When we understand that, we'll understand why we have no peace apart from Jesus Christ. What are those separations which came into the experience of humanity through the intrusion of sin into our world? There are four such separations. Can I share them with you briefly? These are four powerful separations, divisions, catastrophes that invaded the experience of humanity due to the intrusion of the spiritual principle of evil. They have ruptured our relationships in key areas of our lives. First, there's the separation of man from God. And so we read in the Old Testament, "Therefore the Lord God drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life." Genesis 3, verses 24 and 25. There came this awesome rupture, this devastating separation between man and God. And that is the great separation, the fountain of all the others. There was a separation of man from God. There was a separation of man from himself. There's a personal as well as a theological separation. There's a great civil war which rages within a man. All of us know that. We may not be able to articulate it and define it and lay it out in outline form, but all of us know that there's that great civil war that rages within us, that powerful sense of emptiness and meaninglessness within ourselves. It produces upheaval and turmoil, and all kinds of abnormalities have become the common experience of men because he's separated from himself. What are some of those abnormalities? Can I share them very quickly with you in outline form that define more precisely this inward separation, this inward division? There's what I would call an emotional abnormality. Man has fear. Ever experience it? He has dread. He has anxiety. He has shame. He has despair. Not a one of those things ever existed before the intrusion of sin. An emotional abnormality. He experiences what I would call a mental abnormality due to sin. He has what I would call self-deception. All men are liars, but worst of all, they lie to themselves. Have you ever done that? The greatest falsehood is not lying to other men, but to ourselves. How do we do this? We rationalize our sins. Do you know what we're doing when we do that? We're lying to ourselves. We try to convince ourselves that everything will be okay. We'll make it somehow without God, without this religion business, without Jesus Christ, without the Bible. We try to convince ourselves that everything will be all right and that our sin isn't so bad after all. You know what we're doing? We're deceiving ourselves. Inward division. We're separated from it. We debate with ourselves. And we convince ourselves that it's all right to do evil. Where did that come from? It came from sin. There's a philosophical abnormality. Not only emotional and mental, there's a philosophical abnormality. Man has lost the ability to acquire true knowledge because he's out of touch with the source of knowledge. He's out of touch with the truth. He's out of touch with God. All of his knowledge is out of shape because his perspective and his framework are wrong. He himself, instead of God, has become the reference point for truth. And on that basis, he reasons with flawless logic to the wrong conclusion because he begins at the wrong premise. He can't know truth. He has bits and pieces of knowledge, but he can't put it all together because he's left the most significant piece of the puzzle out. He's left God out. He has this inward division, philosophical abnormality. He has a moral abnormality. Man separates his sexual life from its original high purpose. And in so doing, he becomes morally and sexually perverted, permeated our culture. He has what I would call a terminal abnormality, a final great separation that he experiences. Finally, at physical death, a man dies. That is a tragic abnormality. God never intended that. That was never to have been. We should never have read the words in the fifth chapter of Genesis that Adam died. He was never made to die. Sin did that. It brought this terrible, tragic division. At physical death comes the separation of the soul from the body. A dissolution of the parts of man occurs at death, and the immaterial separates. There's another separation that God never intended. The immaterial separates from the material. That is the last and great separation of man from himself. All of these abnormalities. It begins with his separation from God, then his own inward civil war, his separation within, with all of these abnormalities. Then it goes on to this third great separation, man from other men. This is what we call sociological separation. And there came all kinds of divisions of men between men. On a personal level, on a cultural level, on an international level, men separated from men. The result of the intrusion of sin. This is why there's no peace on earth today. And there came all kinds of these separations, these sociological separations. For example, there was a marital separation. Adam became separated from Eve as each of them attempted to pass the blame off onto the other for their part in the fall. They never did that before. It's an amazing thing what sin will do to warp the personality and the conscience of an individual. And Adam begins to blame his wife, the woman thou gavest me. There came a marital separation, and it comes all the way down to our modern world, and it's devastated homes and families. Marital separation. God never intended it. And then there came what I call a filial separation, separation within the family. Brother became separated from brother. And so intense was that separation that we read in Genesis 4 that Cain actually murdered his brother Abel. The first son became a martyr, the second a murderer. Filial separation. Then there came a spiritual separation. The seed of the serpent became hostile to the seed of the woman, Genesis 3 and verse 15. It means that unredeemed humanity, those outside of Christ, those outside of a right relationship with the Lord, unredeemed humanity came to stand violently against redeemed humanity. And the blood of the martyrs throughout all of revelational history is a silent and eloquent testimony to this awesome separation, a spiritual separation. It was the hostility of that separation that was unleashed upon Jesus Christ on the cross. And then there came what I call a lingual separation, a division of the languages at the Tower of Babel, Genesis chapter 11. There came a powerful linguistic separation as we're given a record of the division of languages. Deep-rooted fractures in the fabric of humanity are directly related to this rupture. We can't understand one another on an international level. We can't understand one another, and so we don't trust one another. If you want a graphic display of the modern relevance of the Tower of Babel, look sometime at a picture of the United Nations with all of those men having that message interpreted for them. You know what? That every time I see that, reminds me of Genesis 11 and what happened to the Tower of Babel and the deep fractures that came into humanity. It was never intended. It came because of sin. And then there was racial separation. Finally, there came a separation or division between Jew and Gentile, between Hebrew and heathen. And though there was a benevolent intent behind it, it's utterly inconceivable to think of the inhumanities that have grown out of that separation. Not only in the ancient world, but even within the circumference of the lifetime of many of us, we've seen awesome inhumanities against Judaism, against Jews. Where did all of these separations come from? There are others we could look at. Man from his environment. Man lost his original dominion over the globe. And the powers of nature were unleashed upon him. Adam faced a sterile soil and a hostile foliage. The soil would not yield its fruit, and thorns and thistles came. He had to do battle with them. And there came that great hydrologic holocaust that we call the Genesis flood that utterly devastated the face of this globe and destroyed all of humanity except for Noah and his family. There came those catastrophes of nature into the experience of Job. And they're anticipated again at the end of the age in the book of Revelation. The powers of nature are unleashed upon humanity. Man is separated even from his environment. There's an environmental separation. Where do they all come from? Why do they exist? All of it is directly traceable to the fall of man and the intrusion of the principle of sin. Like titanic sonic booms, these ruptures come all the way down, and that's why there is no peace. That's the great necessity, ruptured relationships due to the intrusion of the principle of sin. That's why there is no peace. Man is separated from his God. Man is separated from himself. Man is separated from his peers. Man is even separated from his environment due to sin. There's only one personality in all of the universe that can remedy and rectify these awesome ruptures and restore these relationships. That personality is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He brings us together again. He makes us at one with God and with ourselves and with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And ultimately, even the environmental holocaust will be over as Jesus Christ restores the environment when he establishes his kingdom on earth.
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg@hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively.
We can be at one again. We can be made whole and complete because of the finished work of Jesus Christ, because of his character. He is peace.
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.